are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Every day we are warned about how the coronavirus can affect us physically. We're advised of the emotional impact of social distancing. But who is talking about the effects of the virus on marriages? Were any of us prepared for being together all the time? Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special coffee episode, How to Coronavirus Proof Your Marriage. Pastor Stu Fennendorf and his wife Trish return to our show by popular request, so that we can have this conversation about how marriages can survive the tough times like we're in today. So I would like to just bring them on and let's talk about where we are, what's going on, and how we can come through this stronger than ever before. Welcome, Pastor Stu and Trish. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hi, Kim.
Well, good morning, Kim.
Well, it's so good to have you back. I was just thinking, just hearing your voice makes me feel like I'm visiting with old friends again. And I know that many that are listening will remember you. You were on the show. You're on the radio show recently with your book, Pastor Stu, Wall Street to the Well, that you wrote. So I want to our listeners to be reminded of that book and how enjoyable and how full of wisdom it is. And then you both were back on the TV show, the Coffee with Kim Testimony show. So we're familiar with you, your friends of the show, and also definitely my friends. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. So, well, what do you think about this new thing that's going on? It's crazy, isn't it?
It is a crazy time period indeed. I think that God certainly presents himself in different ways, and it's very clear that he is doing that. But knowing that and how we deal with it are challenges, that's for sure. So we see it as an opportunity, no doubt, but we also see it as a trying time period, and it certainly has been that. And it's even been that with Trish and me in our marriage and even with our church. So, yeah, it's an interesting time period.
And that's what I love about the way you all present, because you present it in real. You talk about the things that you're struggling through and have struggled through. And I think that gives us all hope. I think that's where we all connect. And, you know, one of the things you said there was the opportunity. And I do believe that. I believe I wrote this study a few years ago, and it ended on the note that to remember that it's in opposition that you are presented opportunity. There's a lot of opposition going on right now. So, Trish, what's your take on all this?
Well, what I am enjoying about this time period is seeing God's hand at work. We are seeing things that would not have happened otherwise, apart from this pandemic. And so there are blessings going on, and God is being glorified in different ways. We have because we are now live streaming our church services, this is just one of many examples. We have a beautiful woman that attends our church whose husband is not a believer, but because of this pandemic and our streaming, her husband sat down next to her a couple of weeks ago to listen to the sermon that was very gospel-based, and she was so excited and felt so blessed by that. And that, you know, again, it would not have happened apart from this pandemic. So I am just enjoying looking for God in the midst of this chaos.
Oh, I love that. I just absolutely love that. Someone said to me the other day, she at Easter. She said, my husband wouldn't even go to church with me on Easter in the past. And she said, and this year I was able to bring church to him in our home. And she said, I have to tell you, I turned up the volume a little bit. So it's really cute to hear her talking. But, and I do feel like that there's so many, I hear Pastor laughing about that. Yeah, it just turned you up a little bit. But, I also, in what we're doing, I'm seeing so many of the good ways that God is working. But from a worldview event, I also see the destruction of you all as well. And before we get into this, I want to remind our callers that we are open to your calls today. You can call in confidentially. I will not even ask your first name or where you're from. If you have a question about your marriage or relationship or something you've discovered, maybe you might even be in a situation that you are finding yourself in an abusive situation and would like to find out how you can go about getting help, definitely call us. The number is 347-324-5246. Remember, the number is 347-324-5246, and you must press 1 for us to know that you want to come online. You can listen by just dialing the number, press 1, so that we know that you want to come online. And if you have trouble getting through, we are having some overload issues this morning, just try again. So please call in with any question or comment that you have. Okay, so, well, you were talking about, let's just go ahead. You know me, I heard something there that I want to jump into. You had just said that there was something going on between you two as a pastor. Would you like to, well, wait a minute, Pastor Trish, we already got a call. Let's just take the call because we don't know what's going on. Okay. Is that okay with you all? Let's just, before we go in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, let's just go ahead and take our callers. Our first caller is number 1162. Welcome, caller, to the show, 1162.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you for addressing these issues within a marriage. I think most of us are spending more time with our spouses than we had planned on. And, you know, initially I thought I was going to call and ask you for how I could pray for my husband, but I'm already having a revelation that there's probably a lesson of patience and prayer for me here. So thank you.
That's great. And let me take the first part and then Trish can talk. I think one thing that Kim said just a couple minutes ago is we are amidst a time period of destruction. It's easy for us as Christians to look at this and say, well, God, you know, for all those who love God, God works all things together for good for those who are called according to purpose. And that is absolutely true. But it doesn't make it easy for Christians. And remember, that statement is for those who love God. And so we always have to, though we can be optimistic about what this is doing in God's kingdom, we have to really be sensitive and merciful and gracious to the fact that there are thousands of people dying in this. Now, on the Christian side, we have to realize that we are spending more time together, that this is an unusual situation. There's anxiety, and as Christians, we turn it over prayer and supplication. But there's also a lot of unequally yoked marriages out there where Christians see it one way, non-Christians see it the other. So we have to be gracious to ourselves. And to that question that Kim was going to, yes, Trish and I realize that we don't always, quote, act like Christians. You know, we always talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Believe it or not, even in the pastor's household and his wife, we have times where we're around each other so much that we can get on each other's nerves and we can argue with each other. And Trish and I will be like, well, we're being a hypocritical, but we're really being as human beings. And so, you know, we need to have a sense of grace and mercy towards each other in our marriage, particularly during this time period where we're spending so much time for each other. So I would just encourage you that with you and your husband, if you're having issues here, and I don't know what they are, that we can give ourselves really a sense of grace and mercy because we're still people, and people will get on each other's nerves, but we do that and we move on and we forgive each other. So Trish, do you have any insights?
Yeah, so one of my things is that I deal with is being overly controlling. And so one of the things that God has really impressed upon my heart And, you know, I'm not perfect at it still. I still try to control. But oftentimes now, instead of controlling, like if something that Stu is doing is, you know, driving me crazy or I wish it would change or whatever, I try to just immediately go to prayer and give him over to God and say, Lord, you know, such and such is driving me crazy, or I wish you wouldn't do this or whatever, or, you know, he's struggling in this area or whatever. And so I try to immediately go to God and say, I'm giving him to you. Instead of me trying to nitpick him and control him, I'm turning him over to you. And I'm telling you, when I do that, I see things happen. And then I'm like, okay, there you go. That's what I needed to do instead of me trying to control him. So that's the thought that came to my mind.
And boy, does Trish need to do that a lot.
I appreciate those comments, and I guess I should have been a little more specific, but, you know, right now with polarizing us is we have opposite political views, which normally really don't, you know, really don't cause any issues. I think we're close enough most of the time, but at a time like this, we seem to be farther apart. We can't even watch the news in the room together. We don't even watch the same news channels. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's amazing how something so small can really get under, and I'll say it's my issue, yeah. You know, get under my skin. And I just really appreciate you kind of hitting the reset button for me. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Is your husband a Christian?
He is, and some of the good that I'm seeing is more involvement in the church. He actually set up a new website for the church. He's become the IT person. Mm-hmm. So I am seeing him actually doing more hands-on and becoming participative. But I think we're probably in different places in our faith. And I don't know. Anyway, it just comes out, I guess, a little bit more when we start talking politics. And he's disheartened, period. Well, so I don't think he'd be happy in any political situation.
Right.
I would. I'd like to encourage you. Go ahead, Stu.
Oh, I'm sorry, Trish. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I would like to encourage you that every time he is bugging you or driving you crazy or whatever, that you look at that as an opportunity to be Christ-like. And if you look at it that way, it kind of gets you excited. It gets me excited. It's like, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath. Jesus is giving me an opportunity to be more like him right now. So what am I going to do with this? So that's how I would like to encourage you to get excited that this is an opportunity to be more like Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's
well,
great.
I will do that.
And I think one thing too, from just a spiritual perspective or Christian perspective, and Trish and I definitely lived through this when I wasn't a Christian. If you know our story, I wasn't a Christian until I was 43, and so Trish really had opportunities to live this, where we were so unequally yoked. But during this time period, where you are Christians, although you may be at different places, what we need to do is really focus on identity, because what happens is things like politics or gender or views of all kinds, if we place them above our identity as children of God, as being Christians, as being loving Christ, that anything that we put in our heart that is higher than our love for the Lord can end up causing destruction in our relationships. It becomes what I call identity idolatry. So if it's politics and you're arguing about that, take a step back, take a breath for about 10 seconds and think to yourself, my identity and our identity with my husband is really around being a Christian. Let's not argue over something, because when we do, we're placing that, the political thing, over our love for Jesus, and it really helps calm things down.
Yes, excellent point. Thank you so much.
And you asked for Jesus to take the wheel. That's all I can say. You need a lot of help, don't you? I love everything you are saying, but I'm telling you the truth. It's like, you know what you're talking about is like dying to self. It's like, oh, I don't want this part of myself to come out. And so it really is like crucifying self so that you can be an example. Incredible caller. Thank you so much. Incredible practical steps there. And, you know, it is such a hard time. I did yesterday on my Facebook page, I put a question out, you know, what is it that, what do you see that, how is this affecting your marriage? What's going on? How do you feel? Just to trying to give some thought for this morning. And one of the ladies just kind of said it so perfectly. She said, everyone I know is struggling. We love our husbands, we love our wives, and we love our families, but it's just not natural to spend 24/7 with them all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's kind of where we are. And so, of course, and during this time, everything is magnified. Everything that someone does, you know, that barely got on your nerves before, and now it's like, whoa, it really gets on your nerves. So, guys, we have another caller we're going to bring on in. I love this. So caller 9547, and let me again thank our first caller. Incredible thoughts and questions, and I'm sure touched a lot of people. But we're going to bring in our next caller, 9547. Welcome, caller.
Good morning, Kim. This is Linda.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. And thank you, Pastor Stu and Trish, for coming on this morning. My question is, during these times of being, you know, isolated and all, and yes, you're with your husband more and more. My question is, I am married to someone where we are unequally yoked, and he professes to be a Christian, but yet he does not have a relationship with the Lord. And during this isolation, it's been very difficult because we see things in such a completely opposite way. And when I talk to him, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. And it has just been a true struggle for me daily. And if you can just give me some words of wisdom, you know, when you have a spouse that he's quit going to church, and I continue to go because I had to turn him over to the Lord many, many years ago. But it's so hard, and I just need some words of wisdom.
And I think it's all, let me just add to that, because I know a little bit more about the story. It's also become very hurtful, the words that are being said. You know, it's become very, very hurtful. And I see my friend spiraling, fighting to stay up, but the words inundating her daily have become very hurtful. So thank you, Linda.
Linda, let me just set this up, and then I'll turn it over quickly to Trish, because she's the one that should really be speaking into this. So that you know, there's some credibility in our book, Wall Street to the Well. I was a professing atheist in my 30s up till my early 40s, and then God pulled me up out of the miry depths and became a Christian, and led me into becoming a pastor. So Trish and I actually went through about an 8-year period where Trish became a devout Christian with a deep relationship with the Lord, and I was actually an arguing atheist at the time and a businessman. So we were in a very difficult, unequally yoked situation. So that's just the foundation for you to know. And then I'll turn it over to Trish, and she can give you some insights.
Yeah, so here are some of the different things that I did during those years. I lived in the book Power of the Praying Wife. I would just pray all those prayers over my husband, and I'm sure you're doing a lot of praying. I found myself just trying to bite my tongue a lot, just staying quiet, because if he said something that I disagreed with, and I would want to, you know, counter that, and then it would end up in an argument, and you know, we had children at home, and it's never good to argue in front of your kids. And so I spent a lot of time just staying quiet, just letting him say what he was going to say, and I would just listen to him. It, even though inside I was like, oh my gosh, I so disagree with this. Or sometimes I maybe would have to speak up, but I always would try to just do it in love and make sure that there was a kind tone in my voice. The other thing that I think I'd shared this with Kim before, but it dawned on me as I was reading scripture one day about the importance of the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you to understand the truth of the gospel. And so I had this thought, And the thought was, is that I thought, well, I have the Holy Spirit. Maybe I could kind of share the Holy Spirit with my husband. And so I made the decision. It was probably God that gave me this idea, but that as if Stu was already asleep at night, I would crawl into bed next to him and I would lay hands on him and I would pray over him and I would ask the Lord if he would share the Spirit in me with my husband. And I'm telling you, I don't know, maybe I was crazy in imagining it, but I swear I felt power going through my arms and through my hands. And so, but I think, at least for me, I mean, Stu had no idea that I was doing this, but it was very meaningful to me and it felt powerful. It felt like suddenly I had power instead of not having any control. I felt like, I don't know. Anyway, so I just wanted to share that with you if you wanted to try that, but make sure he's really asleep because it might make him mad.
Right. And Melinda, from the unbelieving man's perspective, I can tell you that what really, obviously the work of the Holy Spirit for me to be pulled to him was the ultimate work of salvation by God himself. So you can rest assured that that God is at work in this. But the thing that did have a huge impact to me during these time periods, even though sometimes I was very angry at how it would work because I was seeing church transformed and I was an angry man, I was an atheist and things, I was getting everything I wanted in my life, but I was not satisfied. But what was driving me to think about things and putting stones in my shoe and ultimately softening my heart is seeing how Trish's belief in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior was changing her life. And so it took time for us, many years, but just seeing her and seeing how she was so at peace and the shalom that she had in the relationship. And eventually I started thinking, boy, I wouldn't mind having that.
Yes. Are you still there?
Yes.
Kim? Oh, yes, okay.
Yes, we're.
My husband, he has said that to me, you know, he doesn't understand because when I'm reading, you know, and studying and all, and he'll say, I don't understand how you do that. And he said, and I was like, but you can too. And I said, you can have what I have, but it's just like it just goes over his head and he just isn't ready, I guess. But it's been such a
Hang
long
in there.
Time now. I am.
Hang in there. Trish used to leave books around the house and I would pridefully act like I wasn't reading them. But then eventually when she wasn't around, I would crack some open, like Born Again by Chuck Colson and the Bible and other things. So you never know how God is working through all of that and
That's just right.
Be faithful. But the main thing I would just emphasize to you is just love, love, love.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. You know, one of the things that I did with my teenagers, they wouldn't want to jump into the Bible. So I would get scripture and just put it on little cards and put it on the refrigerator or put it where we, you know, get where they brush your teeth in the mornings, you know, and it's just like the scripture was always there. It was always a work. It says that his word will not return void. So, you know, I put it out there as if I were memorizing scripture, which I was, but I put it in places where they would read it too. And so, you know, given the opportunity to get inside them. But every time I think of that picture, though, Trisha, of you praying over him like that and sharing the Holy Spirit, that is such a beautiful picture, I think, for wives or husbands to do, and even to do with your children. I love that picture. Mm-hmm. That was definitely a God picture. So, Linda, thank you so much. And I know, you know, everything that they just said, Linda, reminds me of when they were talking about, when Pastor Stu was talking about how Trish was, you know, not trying to cram Christ in his life. She was being an example of him, which is what I see you doing.
Yes.
But makes me think of that scripture of 2 Corinthians 5:20, where it says, "We are Christ's ambassadors." You know, you are being an ambassador for Christ. You are living the example of who Christ is, and that's what Trish did, and that's what ultimately brought the big guy into knowing the Lord, right, Pastor?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Linda.
Thank y'all.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Linda.
You know, Yeah, there's a lot of hurt. I mean, I know she has shed a lot of tears because things are magnified during this time. I heard this joke one time where the husband said, every time my wife and I, every time we get in a fight, she gets so historical. And the guy said, oh, you mean hysterical. He said, no, historical. She remembers everything I ever did in the past. And so it's doing I hear that's going on a lot right now. We have too much time to think about, you know, the past, and it really is coming back to haunt us, and it's being used against one another. So how do you deal with something like that, Pastor and Trish, when you are – being reminded of all your shortcomings and what you've done wrong in the past? What is your word to people to get through that?
That's a great question. You know, this is where a reflection on the cross is so practical. At our church, which is Redemption Hills Church in Littleton, Colorado, what we say all the time is good theology leads to loving relationships, but that sounds so academic at times. But what it really means at a deep level is a deep understanding of who God is and how God has worked in our own lives, then will transform into how we work and deal with other people in our lives. And so if we just think, honestly, this is so practical. If we just think about things like, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And then the other thing I would just say is, We really need to just understand ourselves as human beings, that yes, we are redeemed as Christians by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, we are growing in holiness, but in this life, we're always struggling with the flesh. And so what that really means is going to naturally be time periods where we're just not going to behave the way the Bible would say we should be behaving. And so we need to have this sense of grace and mercy from God in our lives, but also a sense of grace and mercy towards others. So I'll have people, you know, call me up and say, my husband and I, it's usually mostly the wives, but we do have some husbands that are at this level of maturity. And the wives will say, you know, we're struggling with each other. And my first comment to them would be, and would you expect anything else during this time period? Then let's get to some solutions. But the first thing you need to do is give yourself a break and understand that these are unusual time periods. Let me give you just one quick example, and then Trish can jump in. Mm-hmm. Even this morning, as we were getting ready to kind of roll out of bed, have coffee, and get ready to have this conversation with you, Kim, Trish and I got in a little bit of a quarrel about, you know, an email and what was going on here and there and everywhere. And Trisha's like, well, let's calm down because we're going to be on Kim's show and let's not be hypocrites. And I was like, hypocrites would be that we're actually behaving in a calm and loving way during a time period where we're seeing each other 24 hours a day. So, you know, these
good
are the
example.
Kinds of attitudes and in a sense of grace and mercy that we have to really have for each other. And of course, the spiritual practices of Jesus, memorizing scripture and praying to the Lord and being in fellowship as much as we can through Zoom meetings. But anyway, Trish, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I love how relatable you are by being so authentic. And Trish, hold your thought for just a minute. We're going to have to take a 30-second break, and then we're going to come back, and I want to hear you all. But I can't tell you enough. I mean, for all that you do and all that you are, and the pastor and the author, and how brilliant you both are, to be able to be so authentic in your desire. And it is a daily battle to be who we want to be. And so I just want to, again, thank you. That's why I just love having you on the show. But let's take a 30-second break, and then we're going to be back, and Trish will pick up that conversation right there. So listeners, we'll be right back in 30 seconds.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee with Kim. We have an incredible show as we're talking about marriages, going through the this coronavirus quarantine time and how to meet the challenge and make it even stronger. We have with us Pastor and his wife, Pastor Stu, and his wife, Trish Finnendorf from Denver, Colorado. And you have heard of them. You know them well. They've been on the show before and are also on the Coffee with Kim TV testimonial talk show. So you're very familiar with them. I admire them so much and how they present the gospel in such an authentic way. Before we get back to them, I'd like to invite you. I so appreciate the two callers that we have before. I feel like that allows us to meet real needs in real time and maybe hopefully right on time. So please, if you have a call, please call 347-324-5. Be sure and press 1. I know a lot of you are on the line right now. We are not sure if you want to come on, but you'll press 1 and you'll be able to talk to our executive director and she'll let me know that you're on. In the meantime, I'd like to invite you to be a part of our ministry. Join us at Facebook on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/rosesandrainbows and visit our website at kimcrable.org. We have conversations of Friends of Faith daily that are meant to encourage and equip one another. It is not my desire to grow a large ministry. It's my heart to show through the Bible passages and His truth that you do have a ministry and that we all should be out there busy doing what God has called us to do. If you would like, you can check, I've alluded to the Coffee with Kim TV show. That airs on NRB TV once a week on Wednesdays, and we have 10 episodes on Inspiration TV. So please check that out and become a part of that. We need you on our team. We are currently, yes, we are, even though we can't travel, we are still currently booking 2021 Burdens the Blessings Tour. If you'd like to bring this transformational message to your city or your church or your organization, please call and contact us. You can contact Karen at kimcrable.org. Okay, guys, well, I want to just jump back on the show. It's too important not to talk about. I want to thank you so much. And, Trish, I'm going to – we have callers on the line. They're stacking up, and let's just try to go ahead and get to them. And what you were going to say, maybe we'll feed right into one of these answers. So, again, I want to thank you all so much for joining us. But let's take our next caller, caller 3065. Welcome to Coffee with Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
So my question is, during this time, if you're kind of in the depths of a valley in your marriage, like a deep, dark place where your spouse is kind of questioning everything and his purpose and identity as a husband and father, how do you stay the course and really persevere to do God's work and glorify God when you're just in the thick of it?
I'm going to go back to saying what I said a little bit earlier. I think you just have to kind of turn it around and think more of, hey, this is kind of exciting because God is giving me an opportunity to stay the course, to be holy, to be Christ-like. And so I guess kind of, I don't know if this makes sense, but turn it around into a little bit of a game for you. Like, hey, here's an opportunity that is set before me. How am I going to show Christ's love to my husband? And, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But you just, when you just keep getting those fiery darts kind of thrown at you and
what about this?
Progress.
Let me interject this. What if the husband leaves? You know, what if he's just not around? You know, to do that, and you're feeling the pain of that. What if he don't have the opportunity to be Christ-like in front of him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll jump in
go
real
ahead.
Quick here. I'd like to relate to you a little bit in our story. We talked a little bit about me becoming a Christian later, but the depths of our marriage were such that not only was I an arguing atheist, but after becoming a Christian, I realized I was an alcoholic and I had to go through rehab. And so you can imagine the kinds of situations that Trish found herself in when I was in our 30s and I was rejecting Christ, but not only rejecting Christ, but a functioning addict at some level. So we can really relate to the kinds of, it's easy for people to say, you know, hey, just love them or that kind of thing. But there's some real suffering going on during this time period. So here's how I would, mm-hmm. I would really encourage you. Number one is, really read a few books on redemptive suffering for you. So focus a little bit on as much as you're more focused on your relationship with God. So a book like Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering by Tim Keller, where there's actually, as a Christian woman, there's value for you in growing closer to Jesus Christ during a time period that is so difficult for you because you don't really have a lot of control about your husband's behavior towards you. In fact, if anything, when you try to control, he may actually act out towards you. So that's the first thing I would encourage you. The second thing in this time period is, as hard as it is, and this is what's really tough during the coronavirus, is community is really important. So your husband may not be in as part of that community. Being part of a life group, koinonia group, being part of your church, serving others, and as much as you want to focus on him and pray for him, like Trish just said, you need the support of Christian community, of church, of Christian counselors, and people that you can just lean into and get some of this off your chest. And so church is really, really important. People these days are watching churches online saying, that's my church. No, that's watching a sermon. A church is where you're part of a church community and you're leaning into them and you're being authentic and you're getting this off your chest and being able to grow closer to Christ through the suffering. So those are some of the things that I would recommend for you.
Yeah. Do you have some godly women in your life?
Absolutely. Yes. Lots that are helping me with lots of love. Which has been
I always wanted to be really careful in that area. I felt that the Lord said it was okay for me to have maybe two or three women that I really trusted that weren't going to judge Stu, but they were going to let me vent and say what I needed to say to get off my chest, and yet they weren't going to judge my husband. Instead, they were immediately going to go into prayer with me. And the other thing I found is that sometimes I did grow weary of praying the same prayers over and over again, and these godly women were like my Aaron and Ur. They like took my arms up, and they were like, no, we'll you pass this baton to us. We will pray for your husband and your marriage. And so, it was really powerful for me to have two or three. I wouldn't go much beyond that because you don't want to get into the, I'm gossiping about my husband and telling everybody and their brother about my husband. So just a couple of real confidants that you know will not judge your husband and that they will pray for him instead of judge him.
That's wonderful. Well, I hope that helped you. We've got so many callers. Did that help you, caller? Do you feel like you have something to hold on to?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Great books there. Great books. And if you think of anything else, please, bring your questions to me. I'll make sure that they get to Pastor and his wife. But thank you so much. Thank you so much.
God bless
now,
you.
Now we're going to go to... Absolutely. Now, let's go to caller 7456. Caller 7456. Welcome, caller.
Hello. Welcome. I don't want to take a lot of time. I'm not going to hide my identity because I want to reach out to the pastor and his wife. I am the person who is moving to Colorado and hopefully helping you or being blessed to be part of your ministry in Littleton. And I'm going to be coming earlier now because we've had a premature birth my daughter had. So I will be out there, and I know you will give me the support that Kim has given me. And just let me say that marriages are difficult, and I think you gave great advice to the last caller. And the most important thing that we do need is other godly people to help us through. Like
Absolutely.
You said, if someone starts to judge your husband or belittle him, you know that's not the right person to talk to. I learned that the hard way through my marriage, and I think your advice was spot on, and I can't wait to hopefully become part of your ministry. But I'm going to let the other people talk now because I just wanted to tell you that it helped me to know that my daughter is in know that Colorado is a loving state and will help her and my premature grandson to make it through. So maybe your parents should say a private prayer for a baby in NICU at Rose Hospital.
Absolutely. Okay. I've already asked them to do that, Marty. So absolutely. Thank you so much. And I'll tell you what, Pastor Trish, you're getting a good one with this one. We're going to miss her, but where she goes, we're going to go too. So you'll see all of us. So Marty, thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely. Right. And I'm bringing the blessings with me. I hope they accept
it. Okay.
Looking forward to being
we'll
in fellowship with you, sister.
Thank you. All right.
Thank
you. Bye.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. I hope that I don't sound like I'm rushing, but I do want to get the callers on this morning. We have them lined up, so we'll take as many as we can. So let's go with our next caller, 4789. Caller 4789, welcome to the coffee show.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Kim. Hi, guys. I won't hide my identity either. This is Casey Gomes. I'm an active member of the ministry and working with Miss Kim, and we do a lot of work with our men's ministry. So thanks for having me on, and thanks for all that you're doing. I'm going to ask a question of Stu, and this is something that we've expanded on a little bit with our men's ministry, but who were the men in your life as you were going through, who still are in your life, but then also as you were going through, kind of your own journey with Christ, who were the men that were your confidants that got through to you, I think we have two sets of friends in our lives, particularly as guys. We have the ones that will maybe seemingly keep things on the surface, but will also allow us to continue to do the things that maybe we shouldn't do. And then we have some other friends that it goes deeper and they're not afraid to challenge us and say, hey, man, like, I think you need to be better. I think you need to do better. You know, who were, if you don't mind talking about it, who were some of those people in your life, and, you know, how is your relationship with them now as you continue to, you know, as we all continue on our journey with Christ?
Yeah, great question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Casey, I'll tell you, hopefully this will encourage you. The men that really became the long-term relationships for me mainly came through through church relationships. And again, since Trish and I were in different places, I went to church for the first time in the early 2000s, after she'd asked me to go to church, you know, for years. And I heard a sermon that then got me interested, actually convicted me and angered me, but it kept me going back to a church in Seattle. And through that church, Trish joined and this would be an encouragement to the women as well. Trish joined a community group through that church and would ask me to go, and I wouldn't go. And when finally I went, and I started meeting men, and they knew my story and knew that I wasn't a Christian. But it was through the church that the men, through the community group, and then I went and met the senior pastor of the church, who I talk about in my book, told me that I was the most selfish, narcissistic, self-centered person you think he'd ever met. It was great pastoring.
and that was the kind stuff, right?
Right. No, and that was good. And that actually is a lesson. It was great pastoring. And so through that, then through the community group, then I finally got interested. My heart started to stop, and I went to a Bible group. I heard a man named Alan Artman, who was a CFO of a company at the time in Seattle, and I got to know him. He got me to go to a Bible study. I'm at the Bible study. And then over time, after I was saved in late 2006, those particular men that all came through relationships in the church and through the community group were the men that then led me and nurtured me forward. And then by the time that I ended up in 2010 with Trish deciding to go back to seminary, those men who came through the relationship in the church when Trish finally got me. So again, the church is not listening to sermons online, although we can listen to some great messages. The church is koinonia community, where people are reaching out to baby Christians or non-Christians at all. And those men then, I still have a relationship with a couple because we moved to Denver. I went to seminary. But those men all had a relationship with me. And then when I went to seminary, obviously, and I have just a group of godly men, both that I met through seminary and then through work, and now at our church, Redemption Hills in Colorado, I have godly men that I turn to, elders and so forth. But it really came, Casey, through through church relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, God can work any way. He can be a truck driver, it can be whoever. But for me, it was the relationship that my wife had at church, and when I finally got involved, these men reached out to me, and they became very important relationships to me. And that's how it happened. Mm-hmm. It happened through me finally relenting and going into a church environment.
Mm. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. That reminds me of the scripture. Casey, here's a good scripture for our men's ministry, which is what we're building now. So Casey, like I said, or like he introduced himself, Pastor and Trish, he leads the men's part of our ministry that's just started in the last year. But I love the scripture, Proverbs 15:22, plans fall for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And definitely that's the success that you're talking about. So, hey, Casey, thank you so much for coming on We've just concluded our second Confront and Conquer, and he's been so instrumental in seeing a lot of men's faith revived. So it's been amazing. So thanks, Case.
Great. Thanks, Ms. Kim. Love you.
God bless you, Casey.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Love you, too.
Keep at it, brother.
Bye.
Absolutely. Our next caller, 1105. Caller 1105.
Hey, guys. Hi, this is Yale Spector. How are you?
Hi, Yale.
Good.
Good. Also a member of the team and a member of the ministry with Confront and Conquer with Men, following Casey's leadership. It's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. My question is, it's simple. You know, we go out, we work, we come back, we kind of have some space from each other. And actually, my wife said to me the other day, I like you when you give me space. But now we're in this place where we're, you know, together all the time. But my question to you is, how do you guys keep romance alive during this time?
Great question.
Good question.
Yeah. Do we, Trish?
That's Kim, you're always going on and on about how authentic we are. I don't know that you want to hear this authenticity.
Not enough, brother.
It turned into an intervention. Sorry, guys.
Maybe I should just say thank you for joining Coffee with Kim. We'll be back next week.
I think this is a real thing
with couples.
It is.
And I think that that we are probably not unusual in how we are wired. And so I don't want to make a universal statement and say that all women are like me, but with my closest Christian girlfriends, they are like me. And so I, again, not a universal statement, but in my circle of influence, it tends to be how it is in my marriage, in our marriage. And that is that our husbands are more amorous and think about relations more than we do. And so, so it's hard. And I know it's hard for Stu, and he has shared with me that, he wants me to take initiative more, and I'm always like, well, why don't you? You're the one that's on your mind all the time, so why don't you just take the initiative, and I'll be game.
Right.
So anyway, I am always game. I mean, I guess the worst thing would be is that if I wasn't game, you know, if I was like, no, and I don't say no, I'm always game. And so that is a difference in how I'm wired and how Stu is wired. And so, go ahead, Stu.
And I think mm-hmm. we need to be intentional. We always need to be intentional in our date nights and our time together as married couples anyway. But during the coronavirus, I think that it's even important to try to have as much normalcy in our lives as we possibly can. And so the date night might mean, and the other thing I think it's very common in this time period is, you know, we get up, we put our bathrobe on, and we just kind of lounge around and, you know, make calls and all that. We really aren't as motivated to just kind of get up, you know, take a shower, get groomed, put the makeup on and that kind of stuff. So I think it's really important during this time period that we stay connected through devotions and being connected by being in Christ together. And at the same time, still having date nights. Now, in our case, we like Uber Eats. So we might put some clothes on and and make it as normal as we can, and then order something and actually have the food delivered since some of the restaurants are open, and try to have a date night that way. But we're trying as much as we can to maintain some sort of normalcy that leads to intimacy as we can. But, you know, this is a tough time period just because we're together so much. And, you know, it's not proverbial, but absence makes the heart grow fonder, and being around each other can really get under our skin a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
I appreciate that. Those thoughts. Thank you, guys.
Great question. And and both Yale and his wife are attorneys, local attorneys, so they are always, you know, working with other people's concerns legally. So I appreciate him, and he always brings a realness to everything. But I will tell you, it kind of made me it made me chuckle a little bit, because I heard on one of the things that when I was I'm losing my thought here. I'm looking for something. Yesterday when I wrote down, when I asked the question, you know, what's on your mind, one of the ladies wrote on here, she's so funny. Do y'all remember that song, that Dolly Parton song where it says, "Jolene, Jolene, please don't take my man"?
One of my favorite songs.
Okay. Well, her response was, "During this crisis, I'm begging Jolene to please come take my man." And I said, "You win the prize." I guess so too. And you know, and I thought about it, I just cracked up, and I thought, you know, that's such a huge part of all this, isn't it? Finding humor, finding a way to laugh. Do you all think, as unfortunately we're down to the last 5 or 6 minutes, but don't you think that laughter, Pastor and Trish, don't you think it's a huge part of getting through this?
Absolutely. And it's an important part of getting through life. You know, even Jesus had a great sense of humor. And so
yeah.
I absolutely believe that we need to take the time and loose and relax, you know, lighten up. And it's hard. Again, let me just make a quick comment about it. It's hard when we know that people are suffering. You know, there's an old Woody Allen line that says, you know, I can't be happy when I know somebody around the world is suffering. And in some ways, that's an easy way to, but we have to put the air of optimism and encouragement on as Christians to know that even in death, and that he is at work in this, that his hand is in creation and calamity, and he's a perfect God, a loving God, and all that. So because of that, we can take a step back every now and then and have this sense of humor that even seems ironic during this time period. Mm-hmm. So yes, absolutely laugh.
Absolutely. And that, you know,
I love to laugh. I love to laugh and laugh hard so that I had kept tears streaming down my face. So,
yes. Yesterday, our family, we have a son who lives in Georgia, and then we have a friend who's downtown still in medical school. But we all just Zoomed yesterday, and we laughed. I call them belly laughs. It was so, just thinking of, you know, reminding ourselves of crazy things in the past. And we hung up, got off of that, and Lee and I both looked at each other and said, "Oh, that was just so wonderful just to take a time out," because I am more seriously driven. I do, you know, with what I do, I hear lots of sad stories every day. I'm helping on some teams here trying to get people out of bad situations, because we know that the domestic violence calls have gone up, you know, over 20%. We know that, you know, so many things are going on. And while we are working hard, as we are all as believers working hard to help, we also have to remember that we can't give what we don't have, right? And so we have to come back and fill ourselves with whatever it takes for us to take care of ourselves. And that's really kind of the way you all started this. You were talking about giving yourself grace and mercy first. But you know, with only just 5 minutes left, I have to get back to this. I have to get back to this, is that, yes, there is a virus out there, and yes, it's taken a lot of people, and gosh, it makes me so sad, and I pray with many of these people, a lot of people every day. But you know what? Isn't it true that there's something greater than just a virus that we're fighting, not just a virus, but isn't there greater? Isn't it the truth that while we're fighting for our marriages and fighting for relationships, isn't it true that we're also fighting for our own faith, and that the most important thing is for us to come to that faith? Because isn't it true, Pastor, that the Bible says that at one day that there's all, for each of us, is a time appointed for us that we are going to leave this world and we are going to enter into eternity? So would you take, either one of you or both of you, take a minute to talk about, you know, let's the bottom line is like, do you know the Lord? Do you have a relationship with Him? Because our marriages, nothing is going to survive the way we want it to survive without Him being our true foundation and being a part of our everyday lives.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome, Kim. That's wouldn't it be wonderful, just a quick comment on here, wouldn't it be wonderful if we fought the virus of sin as much as we're fighting the coronavirus? If that would be the case, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful wonderful life. And Jonathan Edwards once said, if we focus as much or more on death, then we can focus lovingly on life. And it sounds morbid, but it's actually true. That this life is about a blink, and the coronavirus has really shed light on that. That, you know, on the scope of eternity of life with Jesus Christ, that if it's a 100-mile-long thread, this life is about an inch, and frankly, that's way overstated. So I think one of the things that the coronavirus does for us is it allows us to take a step back and say, you know, we are mortals. And so how should we be looking at this, particularly if you're not a Christian, you're out there listening to this, but even as Christians? And it's wonderful knowledge to know that God is sovereign in this, that we can still rest in His sovereignty. And we have, as Christians, we also know that we should handle anxiety in a different way, that we should, you know, present it with prayer and supplication and give thanksgivings to Christ and all our anxieties, because God has us in this. And then, you know, what else is great is we have a wonderful opportunity as Christians to act out in service and not run from this, but run into it and serve others, even if it's having a call like this or whatever it may be. Remember, there have been many, many plagues over the centuries where Christians have put themselves at risk. And it's in the conveying of those loving actions that the aroma of Christ comes through. And so I think we have a great opportunity there. And then, just as you said, I mean, this is an amazing opportunity for us to convey the gospel of Jesus Christ to people in a way that maybe they would not have listened to before, if they're suffering through situations and all. But I would actually reach out to people who are out there now who may not be a Christian or young in their life, or women that are or young in their faith, or women that have husbands or men that have wives that aren't Christians. What an amazing opportunity to act in a loving, gracious, godly, Christ-like way and serve and love, and then convey the gospel of why, how can you behave in such a way? Well, I can behave in such a way and I can act in such a way because I have the peace beyond all understanding, the shalom, that can only come by my relationship with Jesus Christ during a difficult time period. And somebody might even say, I actually ran into somebody. They had a relative that has coronavirus and is really battling to stay alive. And their actions of love and prayer and their hope and their love of Jesus Christ has put them in a place where people looking at them saying, how can you behave in such a way? How can you be looking? How can you be like this? And everybody who comes around them, particularly non-Christians, know it's because of their faith. And so I would just encourage all of us it's a great opportunity in this time period to really reflect the aroma of Jesus Christ in our lives.
Perfectly said. Well, we're down to just a couple of minutes. I just want to thank both of you so very much for being a part of the show. We didn't even get to the point that we had planned on talking about, but I wanted to make our callers priority today. So thank you all for that. We must do this again. And before I come back to you for a final word, I'd like to tell our listeners, please go online and from Amazon, you can order Stu's book, Pastor Stu's book, Wall Street to the Well. It's an amazing, amazing read. It talks about his captivating story from his journey from success to riches, you know, from finding his faith and how Trish was able to be such an incredible influence in his life. It is an amazing story. You're going to love it. It's going to help your marriage. It will just enrich your life. You can go to Amazon and order the book, or you can go to www.wallstreettothewell.com. And if you're in the Littleton, Colorado area, please go by and be a part of his church once we can at the Redemption Hills Church in Littleton, Colorado. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. It's been such a pleasure. You've answered so many questions. Thank you for being my friend. I just love you two so much. You're just just great people. Great people. So thank you.
We love you too.
Well, thank you so much. And I really am going to be calling on you again because the phone lines, we didn't even get to many of the calls. And for each of the callers, I want to say thank you for calling in. Thank you for being vulnerable and authentic. Your questions were resonated with many others. So as you ask your question, you were speaking for many. So thank you for opening the door and making those calls. For those who did not or not able to get through, I'm so sorry. We will do this again, but you can also go on to my website or my Facebook page and put your questions there or private message me, and I will make sure to get those questions to the pastor and his wife, and I know that they'll be more than happy to answer. So as we sign off today, I just want to again thank you, and I want to encourage you to look up. God is doing a work even in our waiting. I love Tozier's quote, while it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes there is a God who hasn't surrendered his authority. So let's remember Romans 8:28, for we know that those who love God, he is working all things together for our good, for those called according to his purposes. Keep looking up, my friends. This too shall pass. Let's make sure as we come out of it, it has passed in a time that's been glorifying to him. Thank you, Fanadors. I love you so much, and we'll see you back soon. And callers, we'll see you again next week on Coffee with Kim. Bye, everybody. Bye, Stu.
Bye.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.